The other day was the silver anniversary of the EDSA People Power Revolution. It was an event for which the Filipino could truly be proud of. For once, we were admired internationally. The turning point, without any doubt, was the assassination of Ninoy Aquino in the month of August 1983, and then in 1986, in that blunder, uncharacteristic blunder of the master politician Ferdinand Marcos, he called for the snap elections, and the perception of widespread and flagrant cheating aggravated the situation, and the final eruption was the military defection that finally brought Filipinos in their millions on EDSA. And with that anger and frustration, there was, on the other hand, that figure around whom the Filipinos rallied, Cory Aquino. And she is now considered as the most beloved president the Philippines ever had. We can therefore say that the EDSA People Power event was the combination of two irresistible powers, that of anger and love. Now, if you ask me which is the more powerful and lasting force, I have no second thought about my answer, and that is love. Christians of all people should be able to discuss the subject of love with greater truth than anyone. And yet, that is no longer the case. Sadly, Christians have yielded very much to the psychological and sentimental idea of love. We have allowed our idea of love be defined more by emotion, by heartbeat, rather than by principles. And so we see this in this month of February, famous for Valentine's. We find the idea of love, even among Christians, very much molded by the ideas of the world. Ang kaisipan ng mga Kristiyano ngayon tungkol sa pag-ibig, sa halip na diktahan ang salita ng Diyos at maibatay sa mga prinsipyo, karaniwan pati ang diskurso ng Kristiyano tungkol sa pag-ibig ay nagiging sentimento, masyadong maemosyon, at ito ang dapat nating iwasto. We have allowed our idea of love to be defined by the world. We need to go back to scriptures. And this month, we did just that. We went back to scriptures, particularly to that portion where the Lord Jesus gave his disciples one of the most profound instructions he left them with, known to us in Bible exposition as the Upper Room Discourse. Ito yung makikita natin sa mahabang bahagi ng Ebanghelyo ni Juan, kung saan ang Panginoon ay nangusap sa mga alagad. At ang halaga ng diskursong ito ay ito yung huling gabi bago si Jesus ay aarestuhin ng mga autoridad upang siya ay gawaran ng hindi makatarungang parusa, ngunit bahagi ito ng kanyang misyon. Misyon na siya'y mamatay bilang kahalili ng mga makasalanan. Ngunit bago nangyari ito, yung huling gabi na kanyang ginugol sa kanyang mga alagad, ay ibinigay niya ang maraming mga habilin kasama na itong habilin na may kinalaman tungkol sa pag-ibig. At muli ko kayong anyayang buksan ang inyong mga Biblia sa Ebanghelyo ni Juan, John chapter 13. Let's read again. Our basic text is verses 34 to 35 of John 13. And then we will have another expansion text, John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now our expansion text is again found in one of the letters of John, the second letter of John, verses 4 to 7. Second letter of John, let's read verses 4 to 7. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Now, as I've said, Jesus is here giving his farewell. He is preparing the disciples to be on their own in the sense of not having his physical company, and they will need to develop those qualities whereby the world will know them as identified with Jesus without having the physical company of Jesus. Now, what do you think would Jesus tell them to develop in order for their identification with Jesus be established? Paano, anong kalidad, anong karakter ang kanilang dapat linangin upang sila ay makilala ng mundo na sila yung mga alagad ni Jesucristo? Kung tayo siguro pagpipiliin, ang pipiliin natin ay doktrina. Kung doktrina ang ating magiging ID para sa mundo, ay madali iyon. Ngunit hindi ito ang pinili ng Panginoon. Sa halip, ang kanyang sinabi, love one another, and by this love for one another, the world will know that you are my disciples. So you see how important this issue is. This is the chosen character by Jesus, no less, whereby Christians will be identified by the world as the disciples of Jesus indeed. And we develop this by asking basic questions. The question as to why is in terms of the new commandment. And what is the new commandment here? The new commandment is not the command to love in and of itself, because that is already found in the Old Testament. Why is this new? This is new in the sense that this comes now from the one who will die for them. And when we think of the command to love one another, what refreshes it to us is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the new thing in the New Testament, that the love commandment is the love command by the one who died for us. So when we ask why, the counter question is, why not when Jesus died for us? The next question we ask is, how? And again, the answer is not simply love to the best of your ability. That would have been high enough, but not quite. For Jesus here says, love one another as I have loved you. And there we learn that Christian love is patterned after Christ's way of love for his people. Now, last Sunday, we asked the question, who are we to love? And the answer, as I suggested, is deceivingly simple, love one another. And yet, in fact, as we saw last Sunday, this is one of the most demanding of the components of love we are considering. You are not to love those who are vibes with you in terms of personality. You are not to love those who can return love to you. Love one another in the way that Jesus loved, because Christ loved them, not because of whatever personal and selfish ulterior motives we may have. We must regard the brethren, in other words, as loved by God, that we may love them as God loves them. We now conclude our brief series on this by asking the question, when? And the answer is, have love for one another. Now, this is not a wasteful repetition of words. When Jesus said, love one another, he is talking of a command, an activity. You love one another. But now he adds this, have love for one another. In other words, you are not to think of love simply as something you do. Love is something you have, a motive. And when we ask when, our expansion passage in the second letter of John helps us very much. Now, the second letter of John is addressed to one John calls the elect lady. Now, without going through the arguments, let me just simply summarize the view that I hold, as with many other judicious commentators, is that this is a title for the church. This is not an individual, but rather one of the titles that John uses for the local church itself. So the church is the elect lady, and the church is to have this love for one another among the brethren in the church. And here, The love that John stresses in the second letter, something I already noted last week. If you remember, I have mentioned in the last message the dual emphasis in the letters of John on love and truth. You'll find this in the three letters, love and truth. And it is very clear in this passage that we read. But there is also a verb here that is repeated, in a very significant verb. It says walk. Walk. And walk in the New Testament is the figure for an ongoing life, an ongoing practice. So when we ask, when are we to love? Is there some special occasion when we are to love? Am I to wait for some special mood so that I can love? No. The word of Scripture is, it is an ongoing life. You must have love for one another. You must walk in love which is in the truth. This is my message. Love of brethren is an ongoing life of applying the truth to their good. Love of brethren is an ongoing life of applying the truth to their good. Ang pag-ibig sa kapatiran ay tuloy-tuloy na pamumuhay na paggamit ng katotohanan para sa kanilang ikabubuti. Yan po ang Kristiyanong pag-ibig. Ito'y tuloy-tuloy na pamumuhay. Hindi ito isang espesyal na okasyon. Hindi ito isang espesyal na aktibidad. Hindi ito pakiramdam. Ito ay tuloy-tuloy na buhay kung saan ang katotohanan na kailangan para sa kapatid ay ating gagamitin para sa kanyang ikabubuti. And that's where the verb walk finds its place in this passage. It's repeated 3 times. It alerts us to the fact that love is not a passing occasion. It is not a few steps rendered on some turning points that once taken, you can then say, I have loved him and that's it. No. Love is walking. Love is walking in such a way that you apply the truth. This is an ongoing practice between brethren. Love one another is applying the truth so that it may do them good. This is the commodity of love. It is love in truth. Now, it means 2 things. First, love in truth is productive of duties. Ang pag-ibig sa katotohanan ay mabunga sa mga tungkulin. Love in truth is productive of duties. And secondly, love in truth is protective against deceptions. Ang pag-ibig sa katotohanan ay nagpoprotekta, nagbabantay laban sa mga kamalian. So those 2 things, if your love uses what should the Christian commodity should be in love, love in truth, it will have these 2 measures of love in truth. First, love in truth is productive of duties. Ang pag-ibig sa katotohanan ay mabunga sa mga tungkulin. Makikita natin yan sa sulat na ito ni Juan. Carefully distinguish here the use of the singular commandment and the plural commandments. John is saying you follow the commandment, love one another, the same commandment, he says, that has been given to us at the beginning as love one another. But when you follow the commandment, singular, you will walk in the commandments, plural. The plural refers to those duties that follow when one is truly walking in love. Oh, it is consistent with how we look at the truth. Every doctrinal truth has its corresponding commandments that require duties of believers. Bawat doktrina ng katotohanan ay may kaakibat na mga kautusan para sa ating tungkulin. Mahalaga po ito because we often think of doctrines as propositions that require believing. Of course, they require our belief, our acceptance, our consent. Sometimes believing a particular doctrine will entail relinquishing contrary beliefs. We have said this again and again when it comes to the gospel. The gospel propounds a truth that says you cannot be saved by your own works and righteousness. The proposition of the gospel is salvation is by grace alone through what God has done in Christ. If you will believe that, you cannot hold at the same time to any contrary proposition. You cannot hold to the gospel and then continue holding to salvation by works. That's just not possible. The propositions of truth will challenge cherished beliefs about any contrary teaching about salvation. So, yes, doctrinal truth challenges belief and sometimes means departing from cherished contrary beliefs. But it will be a tragic mistake to think that all that is involved in truth is changing your beliefs. Malaking pagkakamali kung iniisip natin na ang pagtanggap lang ng katotohanan ay nangangahulugang magbago ng paniniwala. Hindi po lamang ito pagbabago ng paniniwala. We see this in the Great Commission of Christ to the Church. There is the part of making disciples, meaning convert sinners. There is the part of baptizing them so that they become members of the church. But the cap of this commission is in the words, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Whatever I have commanded you, teach them. So you see, teaching has commandments. Truth has duties. There are commandments in truths, and you have not truly absorbed the doctrine until to you it becomes duty. For example, when you learn the doctrine of the inspiration of the scriptures, yung doktrina na kinasihan ng Diyos ang kasulatan, kung kaya't ang kasulatan ay inihinga mismo ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ng Espiritu, at ang ibig sabihin niyan, ang kasulatan ay salita ng Diyos. Paniniwala yan natin. Tinitindigan natin yan. Pero nagkakamali ka kung isipin mong, ah, naniniwala ako riyan, kaya maayos na yung aking paniniwala. Ang tanong ay, iginagalang mo ba ang kasulatan? Ginagamit mo ba ang kasulatan? Binabasa mo ba ang kasulatan? Sinasaulo mo ba ang kasulatan? Kinukonsulta mo ba't sinasangguni sa mga isyu ng iyong buhay? Ipinapanalangin mo ba ang mga nababasa mo sa kasulatan? In other words, merely believing the doctrine of inspiration of scriptures does not mean you have absorbed the doctrine until it becomes to you a duty. And this is where many fail. I'm afraid some of you fail that while you understand the gospel, you have not yet come to Christ. While you understand salvation is by grace, you have not cast yourself upon the gracious Savior. And I'm calling upon you, don't imagine that having the notion makes you a Christian. It does not. The mere notion, the mere believing of the proposition does not make you a Christian until you come to Christ. You cast yourself upon Christ. And I'm calling upon you to do just that. Now, in every truth learned, therefore, there is something that will form into a duty. And this is true of love. What love does is see the duty in a truth as it pertains to the brethren. When we absorb the truth, we understand the duties as far as we are concerned, but then love sees the duty as far as my brethren are concerned. And that should be the challenge to us. People are asking today, 25 years after EDSA, why has there not been much change for the better for the Philippines? Or they can give a lot of roundabout explanations, but to me it boils down to a simple thing: failure of duties, failure of responsibilities. Filipinos love blaming rather than just do their duties. And that mistake
can happen in a church. Blame rather than do your duty as love dictates. My challenge to you, brethren, is Christian love will be sensitive to the good of brethren from specific truths of doctrine. Ito ang kinaiiba ng Kristiyanong pag-ibig. Hindi ito basta emosyon, sentimiento. Ang Kristiyanong pag-ibig, ang kanyang kasangkapan ay katotohanan. The commodity of Christian love, which differentiates it from other sentimental love of the world, is that truth is its commodity. This is love, John says, that we walk according to His commandments. Sentimental love will walk according to emotions. It will walk according to moods. Sentimental love will be sensitive to opinions. Not Christian love. Christian love is dictated by duties. Let us test this on one issue. It often happens in cases of offenses. The offended will often resort to actions contrary to Christian duty. And actions contrary to Christian duty when offended is wide in range. It can range from silent treatment, which only nurtures resentment and bitterness, to gossiping, to bitterness, or uncontrolled rage. And all those are actions contrary to Christian love. And often, that offended Christian, nursing that resentment, will join the Lord's Supper and will, with audacity, recite the covenant that says to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. And he will do that while yet not doing his duty. Or he will protest that he loves the offender, but is not willing to walk according to his commandments. Let's test that of ourselves. We ask the when of love, not when you are in the mood, not when circumstances are to your liking. The when of love is what duties dictate upon you. Anong tungkulin ng pag-ibig na ipinapagawa sa atin? What truth does your brother, sister stand to profit from? And love assumes that duty to do good by the truth. Whether it is sharing goods, acting in mercy, serving needs, sharing thoughts, perhaps just listening, or other duties dictated by the truth. One of the best things you can do to a Christian is apply the truth to him. Make him know the implications of the truth. Gresham Machen was the founder of the Westminster Seminary, considered today the foremost Reformed seminary in the world. And yet at his deathbed, one thing he could remember was the doctrine taught him by his friend John Murray, the doctrine of the active obedience of Christ, that the substitution of Christ includes his obeying all the requirements of the law so that those requirements are deemed obeyed by us because Christ obeyed them. And it was so assuring to him that just before he died on one New Year's Day, 1956, he sent a telegram to his friend John Murray, and all that the telegram says is, "Bless God for Christ's active obedience." And you see, brethren, at the crossroads of life, what Christians need are not sentimental songs, though they may have their place. At the crossroads of decisions, what will best serve Christians' interest are the truths of Scripture. Ang lubos na makakatulong sa mga Kristiyano ay ang paggamit ng mga katotohanan ng kasulatan. At maaring isang bagay ito na kinakailangan mong gawin. Maaring may kapatid na kinakailangan niya ang katotohanan patungkol sa kanyang panlulumo. Maaring may kapatid na nangangailangan ng katotohanan tungkol sa kanyang mga relasyon, sa kanyang mga anak, sa kanyang mga gawain sa mundo. At kung palalampasin natin yung maitutulong nating katotohanan, we ask what John asks, how does the love of God dwell in us? Love in truth is productive of duties. So don't content yourself with good sentiments. What duties have you done for our brethren? But secondly, love in truth is protective against deception. Ang pag-ibig ayon sa katotohanan ay nagbabantay laban sa mga kamalian, sa mga pandaraya ng maling turo. And do you know the occasion that necessitated the writing of the second letter of John? You might think that the emphasis on love means that some sentimental concern moved John to write this practically a short note. Well, the fact is that it was written as a warning against the circulation of false prophets and doctrines. Ito yung nag-udyok kay Juan na isulat itong kanyang ikalawang sulat ay dahil sa mga kumakalat na mga bulaang propeta, maling doktrina, and in particular, that doctrine pertaining to Christ, that doctrine that denies the humanity of Christ. Itong babala niya. Mga propeta raw na nagtuturo na si Kristo ay hindi naparito ng ayon sa laman. And this is called upon, or this is what love is called upon to do. For every truth that does good, remember there are corresponding deceptions that imperil believers. Sa bawat katotohanang nakabubuti sa mga mananampalataya, may kabaligtarang kamalian na nilalagay sa panganib ang mga mananampalataya. And such is still the depravity of the heart, even of the believer, that he can be very vulnerable to these errors. Calvin called the human heart an idol factory, and it is that. It constantly manufactures a replacement for the truth. And what will preserve Christians from becoming vulnerable to these deceptions? Well, there is of course the pulpit. The pulpit must teach and preach the truth. There must also be a personal effort to know the truth so that we can be shielded from error. But one essential means of protection is by the warning that we give to our brethren in a loving fashion. Kasama ito sa pagbabantay sa kanila. Let us not be guilty of that first question directed against God by Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, yes, you are. Once in church, you are your brother's and sister's keeper. And one part of keeping them is warning them against deceptions. Isn't that one part you want a physician to be doing? Sometimes a physician will warn very sternly just for the purpose of life preservation. And that's what our brethren need from us. Christian love will be alert to any thought contrary to truth, ensnaring the brethren. And challenge yourself on that account. Thoughts that deceive can come from any sources. Media,
sometimes because of careless exposure to wrong teachers. And when these thoughts are entertained, then put to practice, they create damage. The damage may vary in areas of life. It may affect one's worship. It may affect one's habit in church. It may affect such things as handling money, raising children. And the real victim in this kind of community is not first the uncorrected Christian. The victim is the truth. So here, John did not mince words concerning the falsehood. Anong sabi niya? This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Let me just explain. The antichrist does not mean someone against Christ. That's the Latin anti. The Greek anti means in the place of Christ. So there is someone there who is taking the place of Christ. He's not saying I'm against Christ, but he's saying things that put something on the authority of Christ that is not true. And that is something that we need to warn Christians against. Let Christian love move you to be your brother's keeper, to safeguard him from deception. Sentimental love will content itself with sweet notes. Christian love will warn sternly if need be. Paul has a version of this in that great chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13. Remember what he said, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. This is the kind of love that will do the most good on the brethren. That love which produces duties, and that love which protects against deception. On both accounts, the commodity is the truth. And that's the question we need to examine ourselves by. Do I love my brethren with the commodity of the truth? Which means I perform the duties, truth directs me, and at times I need to warn against deceptions. John Wesley and George Whitefield, great preachers both, were the best of friends. But at one point in their relationship, they had a very serious controversy. They exchanged letters, and if you read some of those letters preserved for us, they used very strong language. And yet, for all that, they never lost their love for one another. They never lost their respect for one another. And when George Whitefield died, by his own choice and preference, it was Wesley who preached his funeral service. That's Christian love. Even at times when they don't agree, they come back because they're both their brother's keeper. By this, Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's by this. You might protest, Lord, make it doctrine. By this. Lord, make it gifts. By this, the world will know you to be my disciples, not your straightforward doctrines, not your polished gifts. By this, the world will know you to be my disciples. And would to God that our church will truly grow in this grace of love. Love one another so that the world will know us to be the disciples of Christ. Let us sing our last hymn. Something for thee, Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. And may it be our motive, because Christ has done something for us, we will be willing to do as much for our brethren in love. Let's close in prayer. We pray, Lord, for that kind of Christian love that uses the truth as its distinct commodity. And where there is love in truth, it will be productive of duties. Father, may we not love with sentiments. May we not love with mere emotions. But as we have sang, let it be a love that is something. Something that can be expressed in deeds of kindness, in comforting words, in the right response to situations where truth applies. Grant that our absorption of the truth will spill over not just into our beliefs and confession, but that it will spill over into actions, into duties to our brethren. We also pray that our love in truth will make us protective of our brethren against deceptions, for they abound in our day. If they abound already in John's day, so much more in our day. And so much more alertness is required of us to see that our brethren will not be victims of these deceptions. May we not be a kind of assembly that is a mere crowd, that while there are men and women in the assembly, yet anonymous and indifferent. May we be a church, the body of Christ, where the hurt of one is felt by all. Grant that we would accept this challenge. The Lord Jesus said, by this, and we may try to protest, we would rather have doctrine to identify us. We would rather have gifts to identify us. But Jesus said, it is by this that the world will know us to be His disciples, by our love for one another. May we learn to love one another in truth, to your glory, and that Christ may be glorified in our church. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.